Hello. Today I am back after a couple of days of absence because I was traveling. So no daily uploads, unfortunately, but I did have time to think and talk. And I think I found a very, very good subject for today. We are going to go more towards the practical approach, the applied philosophy part, which has been admittedly lacking a bit in the last episodes where I delved more into the theoretical side of things. We're going to fix that today, and boy, are we ever. So buckle up. So today we're going to go over a very useful framework for communicating, and communicating in your personal relationships, because this is the Personal Philosopher podcast after all. But spoiler, this also works in professional relationships, and it works extremely well in organizations and in problem solving. But let's just look at the personal part. I firmly believe that most of the world's problems are communication problems. Let's get to the practical part. So how should you communicate in a relationship to solve problems? Because communication is easy when there are no problems. There are about 7 steps in this framework, and the last one is a bonus. So I said I'll get right to the point, but I first want to make 2 notes, very, very important at the beginning. I'll be brief, I promise. First, who this is for and who this is not for. First of all, do not go in trying to win an argument. That is one of the dumbest things possible. If you're the kind of person that has trouble admitting when they're wrong and feels attacked or slighted or in danger when they admit to themselves and, God forbid, to others that they're wrong, this is way too advanced for you. You need to go deal with that. Because if you have that, this is not going to help you. You will not apply all that I'm about to give you in this framework, because you'll be too busy trying to win the argument. So what I'm giving you here is not meant to do that. It's actually meant to help you realize if you were wrong just as much as the other person. Because if you think about it, the one who's wrong has a lot more to gain from the conversation. The information that they are wrong, which is invaluable. Now, there's only 2 options here. Either you're wrong and you're not aware of it, in which case, of course, it would be a tremendous service to you to learn that you're wrong, or you know that you're wrong and you don't care. You just want to feel right, even though you're wrong, in which case, again, this is not for you, because you have a lot more self-work to do before getting to this point. And communication is not your main problem right now. Second of all, there's a lot of misconceptions regarding when should you address communication problems. And there are such gems of conventional wisdom as the need to create a safe environment in which to discuss the issues, and you need to choose the time and the place conducive to calm discussions. And this is all a perfectionist trap designed to paralyze you. Because if you wait for the right moment to have a discussion, guess what? When does that moment come? Never. Because you will avoid a difficult discussion on the pretext that it's not the right time, it's not the right moment, and by the time you do hopefully decide to have it, it'll be hard to remember. Do not wait for the perfect time. Do not set the stage, the time and the place to have difficult discussions is here and now. The moment you feel a negative emotion regarding the other person, you should tell them about it. And that's how the discussion starts. That's actually the first step. All right, warning's over. So you have a problem. Now, first step is to take a moment to reflect on your emotions, your thoughts, and your impulses, what you feel like doing. Just do a quick inventory. You don't need to go away for 5 minutes and do that. Don't need to meditate. You just need to take a few seconds, look inside yourself, see what's the most prominent emotion, the most prominent thought, the most prominent impulse that you have. Okay, make a note of those. And this will, of course, become much easier with time. Second step would be to make a statement about yourself to the other in the form of when event A happens, which is a triggering event that triggered your thought, your emotion, your impulse. So when event A happens, and then you just name the feeling, the thoughts, the impulses. For example, you say, when you don't ask me for my input, I feel like you're not respecting my intelligence or abilities. I feel belittled. Another example, when you change plans last minute, it makes me think you don't value my time. And here's another place where conventional wisdom fails and psychology fails, because psychologists do this too. They call them I statements. But the I statements have a third part, which starts with because. And you do not want to blame the other person at any point, and you need to make it very clear by just stating this to them. I'm not blaming you or accusing you or anything. I'm just curious to find out why I feel like this when that happens, or why I think this, or why I want to do this when that happens, or when you do that. I don't know why. Anything beyond that would be conjecture at this point, would be a presumption, would be making an assumption. And that's a very bad thing. Avoid assumptions at all costs. Okay, so far we have reflect, make a statement about yourself, and then, third most important part, ask a question of the other to confirm. Do you think I'm right in how I feel, how I think, what I want to do? So that's the core of the framework. Make statements only about yourself, not about the other. Ask questions about the other. Right? Recap. Reflect. Make statements about yourself, and then ask question of the other. Do you think I'm right in that? And if they say yes, then problem solved. There was either a mistake that has been corrected, or there was some wrongdoing that's been admitted. So they're basically validating your negative experience. So it means that it's justified and that they agree that you are justified in feeling or thinking or wanting to do something. All right. But problem appears if they say no. When you ask, do you think I'm right in feeling this and thinking this? And they say, no, I don't. So then you need to be more curious. You need to ask more questions. Please tell me, why do you think I feel, I think, I want to act in that way. If it's wrong, why is it wrong that I feel that? Why is it wrong that I think that? Why is it wrong that I want to do that? If they respond, that's perfect. Just go to the next step and you see what that is in a second. But the problem is, again, if they don't respond, then a very common response here from lazy, abusive people is, I don't know. I don't know. Quit bothering me with the stupid questions. What? How the hell should I know why you feel like that? You're just you. And this would at least expose the disdain, the resentment they have for you. I mean, if they truly believe that you feel, think, and act negatively for no particular reason other than you're just you and you're an awful person, apparently, I don't think they're the right person to have a relationship with, because their default position is that you suck. Okay? And if they have such a poor opinion of you, why the hell should they be associated with you in the first place? Why should they want that? My last question here would be, why not? Am I not interesting to you as a friend, as a husband, as a wife, brother, daughter, etc., as the case might be? Hopefully not all of those at once. At this point, you feel like continuing talking to them, which I don't understand why you would, right? If that's not your cue to press the eject button from the relationship, I don't know what would be. But let's continue with the framework. So, step four, verify your understanding. So let's suppose that you did get an actual answer and they just didn't stuck with, I don't know and I don't care. They gave you some actual answer at some point. Well, then your duty right now is to verify that you understood their answer correctly by paraphrasing. So basically just repeat their answer in your own words to verify that you understood it correctly and ask them, Is this right? So if I understand what you're saying, it's not that you don't value my time. It's that you feel like you're expected to do all of the planning and you don't think you're very good at it. And then you tend to make changes because you're anxious that your previous plans would not work out. Is that correct? Okay. If they say yes, then go repeat from step one. Reflect, how does that make you feel? Maybe you feel something positive now. Maybe it's not negative anymore. In my example, it certainly would be. You should have no reason right now to think that they don't value your time, right? So go through this cycle again as much as needed until you sort everything out. Now, if it's incorrect, if they say, no, you didn't get that right, then go back to step three instead of step one and ask more questions. So simple. Now, this process should continue, as I said. This is step five. Step five is a meta step. The process continues, steps one through four continue until you figure out what the errors are. Because a problem is usually caused by a misperception of reality, a discrepancy between objective and subjective reality. One of you is wrong. Whichever one that is, they do not have a clear picture of reality. And we need to figure out who that person is, okay? That's all we need to do. That's the purpose of the whole exercise. And once you do figure it out, then it'll be one of two things. It's either going to be a mistake or wrongdoing. And what's the difference between the two? A mistake is acting or working on missing or wrong information, misunderstanding, poor communication, lack of education on the subject or topic, that kind of thing. So it's not a choice. It's an unknown unknown. It's something that the person is misperceiving and they have no clue that they're doing it, which is, easily corrected in the next step, as we will see in step six. And back to step five for now, the other option is that there's a wrongdoing, which is a known wrong action that was chosen because of various reasons such as habit, weakness. So once this has been established and we're clear on what the errors are and we are in agreement on them, because if we are not, steps one through four should repeat. Step six follows. Look at the solution. And what are the solutions? That's the easy part, actually. The hard part is defining the problem. Once you define the problem, the solutions are quite simple, quite apparent. And they're kind of the same solution. So if there was a mistake, then simple. You just verify that the perception of reality has been corrected or enhanced by the new information received by the person who made the mistake. And then if that person expresses regret and commitment to learn more and be more accurate in communication in the future, then that's sufficient for a mistake. If it's a wrongdoing, then that's a larger subject. The part who did the wrongdoing needs to initiate atonement procedures. And that's another perfect standard that we deal with in personal philosophy. And we're going to look at that in the next episode. So stay tuned for that one because it's really, really good, I promise. So if mistake, all good. If wrongdoing, we need atonement. If it's not clear which one of these it was, or if you get stuck at any point in the process, then you can either brainstorm together following this plan, and I'm going to post it on the website as well in written format so you can follow the checklist, or you could consult a personal philosopher. I'm available, by the way. Joking but not joking. No, seriously, this is what personal philosophers are for. You would go to a psychologist if you have a problem in the realm of emotions or self-knowledge. You would go to a doctor if you have some problem, some physical problem that you can't solve, right? So if you have a communication problem that you can't solve, go to a personal philosopher. Now, one more sub-step here would be, it would be nice to just kind of take a moment to express gratitude towards one another, thank each other for engaging in the conversation. And the last bonus step, number seven, is reflection. It starts with reflection, but personal reflection on yourself. And then it ends with reflection, but this time it's shared. It's with the other person. So it's good to go over a debrief after the conversation and take a moment to meta, reflect on the conversation itself. So how did this process, this workflow, this framework, applying this framework, how did it go? What went well with it? What could you have improved in the execution in applying this framework for communication? And lastly, just after you thank each other and you reflect, you need to remember that this gets easier with practice and just encourage each other to, you know, keep going and keep doing this and work on your relationship, because guess what? Relationships are work and they are hard work, and nobody teaches you how to work on a relationship. And people get the wrong idea that working on your relationship is just an exercise in learning to tolerate the bad parts and learning to kind of, I don't know, hyper focus on the good stuff. That's not working at all. That is the opposite of working. That is existing and hoping that the problem goes away without work. And we all know how that works. It's no wonder we have a 50% rate of divorce in the West. So, if you follow this framework, you will build trust and a better understanding in your relationships. You will build stronger relationships. You will solve problems together. And nothing builds a stronger relationship, be it, you know, friendship, marriage, whatever, than just solving problems together. especially since there are problems about yourselves, about the interaction, about the relationship itself. And this framework will guarantee, it's guaranteed to reduce defensive reactions, crossed signals, misunderstandings. It's actually giving you a very clear, very actionable way of solving any problem you come across in your relationship, or determining if at least it cannot be solved. So you can stop trying to solve things that are not solvable. Because if this doesn't do it, if you follow this and it doesn't do it, if you go to a personal philosopher and they help you apply the framework and it still doesn't do it, then yeah, probably the other person is not someone who you should have a relationship with. And that's another subject. Because in order to save a relationship, you need to be willing to let go of a relationship. That's the subject of the podcast of Day After Tomorrow. So I'm going to stop here because this was a longer one. And I hope it helped. And let me know if you have any questions. Please reach out with feedback. I love it. Thank you so much and have a great day.